If we ever had a family movie, it's probably that one about how 9/11 was an inside job.
And I looked over at him, and he looked over at me with his whiskey, and he goes, "When boys were bloody men."
Give him a call. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm in Ohio." And he said it so casually. He said it like, "Yeah, I'm going to be a little late. I'm just going to need to go to Canada real quick."
Fuck you, Dad!
Welcome to another episode of Fuck You Dad, everybody. Got another great guest this week. Very funny comic, good friend of mine. Vishal, what's up, man? Thanks for coming on.
Yo, what's up, guys? What's up, Kenny? What's up, Nick? I've listened to a few of these episodes. I'm a big fan of you guys. I don't know if you know.
Oh, thanks, man.
I like your stuff.
That's dope shit.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to my dad for 2 minutes and then QAnon for the other 48. So
that'd be great.
That's how we do it.
That's the thing about quarantine is you haven't seen people in so long, so you don't know if someone's become just completely unhinged, where you're just like, "Hey, man, what's going on with you?" He's like, "Pretty good, except, you know, all the nation's elites are feeding off the adrenochrome of children." And you're like, "Oh, Jesus Christ, they got to."
But what I know about Kenyon, like, that tracks. Like, it doesn't matter what the podcast is about. Like, it'll eventually go to, like, conspiracy theories anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
So when you were telling me about this podcast, like, "Yeah, we talked about her dad." And I was like, "Okay, cool." And I listened to it. And I was like, "Okay, that's like a foot of the door to what Kenyon really wants to talk about."
It just gets into me, start talking about the, you know, it was like, "Well, so two towers falling demolition style in 90 seconds. Yeah. Does that make sense to you?" That's a real fuck you to you. That's what that is.
Even if you
fuck you to my intelligence.
If you were on Mark Maron, it would be like, "Lock the gates, Tower 7. Like, you wouldn't even.
I tried to make a shitty joke on Facebook today and it did not work about Tower 7. And I was like, I got too weird. I think the internet was like, that doesn't seem like a joke. That seems like you literally believe that. So I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to condone that behavior.
It's a weird thing to get blocked on Instagram or Facebook. We tried to promote that clip of you talking about Joe Biden and I got denied. It was like, you can't talk about political people and promote it. If it's not like actual information. And I felt like, I was like, "Oh, I guess I was trying to contribute to the, the QAnon people."
They're trying to take down the truth. And again, it was a bit where we just said Joe Biden needs a life alert, which I would argue is factual information.
Yeah.
Which I would argue is necessary info to the White House secretary that I'm like, I'm sure there's some sort of collar around him. I'm sure, absolutely.
I think even Life Alert is like, "Yo, this guy should have Life Alert." It's not like
they should be sponsored by Life
Alert. Yeah, they're sending him samples like, "Yo,
yeah, like, you should try different."
During a speech,
I mean, did
or something?
You see the thing? I was right, because did you see a couple weeks after that he like fell down the stairs walking onto an airplane? Did you see that?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
That was like pretty. I mean, "Oh, everything's okay." That's almost like America in 30 seconds. Just a man falling down the stairs, struggling to get up, and be like, don't look over here.
Kamala was in the plane, just licking her lips, watching that, like, "Fall, you bastard." just one more slip, and I'm in.
Just like buttering up the stairs as he's like walking up, like, this'll get him. Just a fall and a slight breeze, and this is mine. God damn.
Vishal, have you been doing? Are you going back to stand-up? Have you been doing the shows recently?
Yeah. I've been working, since I've been here, I work like good nights and just doing like bar shows. I would say like the last 2 or 3 months, I've really taken a break because my sister had a kid. So I've been hanging out with them. So I've been like not trying to go out as much.
Right.
But now that I'm able to get the vaccine and like I still have at least 3 more months in New York, I'm like just trying to spend it like a vacation, you know, like go get a feel. Like, do I want to put my bed in storage? Do I want to find another place, or do I want to be up? That's what I'm trying to figure out there.
Yeah, that's right. That's the big.
What would you do instead of living in New York? You're gonna go to Austin?
Yeah, I mean, I have a job that allows me to like just take a laptop and work anywhere. So I was thinking of like going to other places, like Miami. I know some people in Miami, but Miami really doesn't give a fuck. But I feel like if I'm vaccinated,
yeah.
I can.
Oh yeah, no, Miami's go. Yeah, that's the epicenter.
Atlanta, yeah, those places.
You're going. It's a different planet.
You can literally get COVID like in a little shot next to a
shot glass.
Miami. Yeah.
The Miami special.
Yeah. They give you the vaccine out of a girl's belly button, actually.
But yeah, a lot of comics are moving to Austin because Joe Rogan's opening his own club. I don't think that's ever happened in comedy, right? Where
no.
A comedian has opened their own club and then a bunch of like hopeful, sad, like, you know, the children in Pinocchio, That's what I feel like it's going to seem like when all those kids were just like playing pool and smoking cigars, and they're just like, Austin's great.
It's like Children of the Corn, just like coming out of the weeds to Austin. Well, it's also, I don't think it's ever happened with like just a city that's just a random city. Like, it'd be like if I was, you know, if someone with George Lopez or somebody was like, I'm going to turn Seattle into the epicenter of, and you're like, okay. I knew it was an okay city, but I was like, since when is that? That's the future. I was like, it's like, hey, imagine LA, but it's 140 degrees in the summer. You're like, oh, okay. Jesus Christ.
But, I don't know if this is a good question anymore, because it might not be that interesting, but where was your like last show, Vishal? Was it an outdoor thing, or was it like a normal back to normal bar show schedule?
Well, I've been doing like more outdoor stuff just to get back into the rhythm, so I would say that. But good nights, we were doing like socially distanced indoor shows, and I was working there, and then I was kind of feeling uneasy about it, and then one of the shows, the last shows I did, like a CO2 leak happened. And like, I had to go up on stage. You're like,
this is really hard to worry about COVID. The building's about to explode.
Yeah, I had to like go up on
the building. Was about to burn down.
And the worst part is like the comic Taylor Tomlinson. She had like a stalker, and like we were told to like, hey, watch out for that. Like there was someone that has been like, she was telling me about like there was a guy following her like show to show, like a groupie. But like he hacked into New York Times, you know, Times Square. He hacked into one of the billboards and like posted her like high school yearbook photos onto it. He's like, I did this for you.
Oh my god.
Crazy level of shit.
I can't believe she managed to pull that off.
Yeah. I can't believe she kept doing comedy after that. I would be like, this guy won.
Imagine like in Times Square if someone threw up a photo of me in high school?
I'd be like, okay, this guy's not fucking around. I
guess I'll have dinner with him. I mean
yeah, and that kind of like, no, go ahead.
I'm just saying, can you imagine if that worked, though? I mean, I love you, and then you're like, well, that is a very romantic gesture. I mean, he hacked into Times. Who else is going to do that for you?
Right.
Yeah. It was the ultimate plug for my podcast, so in a way, he was supportive. That was supportive.
Yeah.
That would be like if, like, 4chan came out with its own streaming service, and they, like, redid How I Met Your Mother. Like, that's how...
Yeah, that's how it would go.
That's how it would go. So we were like, we had to like watch out, and I literally Abdu dragged me out with the general manager. He's like, yo, we have a CO2 leak, everyone has to evacuate, you need to go up on stage and stop the show. And I was like, okay, there's probably a better way to do this, but I don't have time because it's
yeah,
leave.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Try to like riff my way through, like, yeah, I gotta go.
Start heckling, like, yeah. I don't know. I was like, there's probably a better way to do this, but I had to literally, with a mask, so I'm already look like, you know, criminal. So I'm going up there with a mask, going up. She freaks out. She thinks it's the stalker, right?
Oh my
god. I'm trying to be cool. Like, I'm waiting. You know how like Goodnight has those three steps on the side? I'm like, okay, she's doing a joke. I know where this joke is going. She's gonna end now. But she's like really hitting with this crowd. So she's like tagging it up. She's like getting the crowd involved. I'm like, all right, if I wait any longer, we're all gonna die.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just kind of like, I just gotta charge up. I just kind of like jog up there. I'm trying to not freak her out, but she looks at me. She like jumps. She's like, oh wait, this is the host. I've like spent a couple hours with him. And I like just whispered to her. I was like, hey, CO2 leak. We have to get out of here right now. And she's like, oh, we're going to die. So she just drops the mic and runs off with me. Everyone in the audience is like, what the fuck just happened? And I think they had like a new guy working the sound booth. Because usually the mood is just like, hey, everyone leave, we'll comp. I think he was just like, all right, and the waitresses will back your checks momentarily.
No, fuck the check.
He was still like trying to get to, I guess it's tipped out.
Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna need that $10.
So just wait patiently. But I think they cleared it up. They're like, no, it's all on us. Please, if you want a refund, we'll give you a refund. But like, there was like 10, 15 minutes left in the show. So it's not like people got screwed out of.
Okay, right. So it wasn't that. It's still a weird moment, though.
Yeah, imagine if you're at a comedy show and they're like, we're all going to die. And the person runs away. You're like, what is happening? You're like,
she didn't say it into the mic.
Yeah.
But probably the first row probably heard it. And they were like, what the fuck?
I would be terrified. Like, what?
So I haven't done shows since then because I was like, that's a sign.
Yeah, that's a little bit. Yeah, you didn't get COVID, but you almost blew up. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what does your dad think of you doing comedy?
Now he doesn't like it. He never really liked it. I think whenever I tell him I'm going to do stand-up, it's like I'm telling him like I'm gay. He just like kind of just doesn't hear it. You know, it's just like, it's just like.
Like I'm having my partner over and he just doesn't look up and he's just.
Yeah, it's. I mean, that's a whole different story. I don't know like how he would feel if I told him I was gay.
Yeah, you're a gay comedian. His head would explode.
And I'm like trying to reason. I'm like, Dad, no, it's really good for my career. And he's like, no, like, I don't know what you're doing. You don't get it, Dad. I have to.
No, he's just like, son, it's you keep calling it a career. It's not a career.
Yeah, it's still in that range. But he does see it as like the sea of darkness, you know, like
is he stand up as the sea of darkness.
Yeah, he's just like those you're doing it in bars and other, he's very like very religious, very orthodox, right?
So, oh,
like,
okay. So
it's not like I'm doing it at churches, right? I'm you know, I'm going to like
right. You're going to the filth of the earth. Well, which isn't not true sometimes.
Right.
But yeah, bars and restaurants. And
is he Hindu?
We're Hindu, but we're like extremely orthodox Hindu. So
okay,
caste system we're Brahmins. So we're like,
oh wow, that's
I can't think of so a Christianity sect that's super religion.
Damn.
Yeah, we're the religion that doesn't allow you to do stand up comedy. So I'm really breaking ground.
I was just about to ask because I know there's like you know the Christian comedy like sect. I was wondering if there was like a Hindu comedian thing, but it's kind of
that's a good question. I don't think there is. Comedy in India, when I did do it, it seemed like they were emulating as much as they could of American stand-up comedy because they're watching, you know, Dave Chappelle, Comedy Central, influence on them. So their comedy stand-up in India hasn't really existed until America did it. But there were some things called like humor clubs, and those would be like monologue styles. So it'd be like, you know, like a TED Talk, honestly, and people would come out and watch that. So that
I
was
would
a
love
style
to see an Indian Jay Leno would be very funny.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's called a humor club, that's like when you call a strip club a gentleman's club.
Yeah.
Right. If anything, the comedy my dad like sounds seedier than what I'm doing.
You go to a humor club. It's like, why is it that polite? You have to dress it up that much because you're doing something dark. That is wild.
Yeah, if I press him on it, he's like, my wife doesn't look at me anymore. I have to. I'm just like, wait, what is actually happening over there?
Oh, man. Has he seen your stand-up ever?
No. I'm okay with it now. I would be just because like, I have a set now where I'm like, it's 10 minutes. I can be clean. I can do it. I've done it before. When I was a lot younger, I was like mortified of it.
Absolutely.
Because one, I wanted them to see me at my best. And anytime, like, I think you had a story, but like, anytime one of my friends was like, yeah, my parent came, they always like describe like the worst night of their lives.
Yeah, no, I literally, one of the worst sets I've ever had in my life is the only one my dad ever came to, which was the finals of the UCC. Still the most people I've ever performed in, about 1,000. And I just bombed. Just ate my dick off in front of a demographic of a small town in front of my dad. But my dad, I never saw him afterwards. He just went, I think it was all right.
that's not what you, I would.
I mean, I remember being there, and if it makes you feel better, Kenyon, watching you bomb on that big of a scale was fucking hilarious. to a percentage of us, like, we were loving it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a nice achievement to bomb that big of a thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, well, this guy has it. It'd be like if I got a special and just ate a dick. Like, it was like my big, first big, to the day, most people ever performed have died a million deaths.
I remember when you said, I remember distinctly when I was like, this set might go downhill, is when you said, it was the joke about the farmer's market and you're like, when you're dead inside in your 30s. And I looked around and I was like, almost everybody, except for like me and Mike Partland are in
I was like, you know, I was 20 years old or 19 or some shit. I had a stupid bit that the punchline was shitting on people in the listen, I wasn't ready.
It was funny. No, the farmer's market bit was funny. It was just like, you had to spike that age up a little bit.
Yeah, no, I was performing honestly too much at the Idiopox, too much in front of young hipsters, and they had warped my brain into being like, well, this bitch shitting on gauges was a thing that will connect with 1,000 old people, and it totally didn't.
God bless the Idiopox, but I stopped doing Mario jokes in front of adults like years ago because of that place.
Yeah.
So Vishal, did you have like were you like breaking his rules all the time kind of guy? Like, were you with your dad? Good.
So growing up, you know, you always hear the stories like minorities' parents be. I would say like my dad was like a very much like physical abuse is how you drill discipline into a kid. Right. Yeah. So like, and I remember a few, you know, I remember getting enough trouble to the point where it was just like, okay, I'm just, I feel numb to the pain now. So I would say,
yeah. You sound like you went to prison, man. You're like, you just don't even feel it anymore.
Yeah.
You drop the soap and you take it.
On purpose. Yeah. Oh, this is a thing I never understood because they have it in Indian prisons. It's like, I don't know. This seems like a very easy low hanging fruit idea to me. It's like, why did they not just replace soap with body wash or like soap dispensers?
Yeah. Just solve that problem. There's clearly someone in on it.
Yeah. There's
I feel like easy, after the 11th person gets annually raped, you're like, maybe we should figure out another system.
Or attach the soap to the wall or something.
So, that would happen to me. I'm like, I'm done with showering. Done with that.
Yeah.
Throw some hand sanitizer over the body. I think we're good. I'm only in here for a couple of years. We'll be all right.
I would say that I was my sister was like a goody two shoes, my older sister. So I compared to her, I think I was much more. But I was mostly getting trouble in at school, you know, like for like talking, you know, being distracted, which I think is like everyone that goes into stand up or like I've noticed has.
Right.
Everyone has that story.
You're like, you were also an annoying bastard in your youth.
Yeah, well, we just question stuff, I think. And teachers are like, I don't give a fuck about this. I'm just trying to get like, 30K. Just
write the goddamn thing down.
Mine was distracting others. Because comedy is, that's literally what you're doing, is distracting others.
Oh, that's a great point, yeah.
Yeah, so like that's what I would get in trouble for all the time. I wouldn't ask, like, you. I'm sure you were like an inquisitive kid and was asking good questions. I was more of the kid of like, I'm going to do the best fart noise and in a way that nobody can tell them.
I was about to say, I'm like, it had to be a fart noise of Nick. Nick wasn't challenging the teacher on Vietnam. Nick was making a fart noise. That was the good.
I was
the go-to closer.
I put no, the pen in the pencil sharpener. That was my closer. That would kill in a lot of classrooms.
I really love you just teaching a new kid the ropes. You're like, yeah, listen. Pen and the pencil sharpener gets them every time. That's how you work. That's how you work fucking Miss Vines' science class.
And hurting yourself. If you find a way to like, if you could make a trip look convincing, I found that like people laughed if you like tripped over a desk really like dramatically. So I was that kid a lot. And on the playground, I'd like trip myself on purpose so that kids would laugh. It's it's a healthy.
That's a totally healthy thing to do. Yeah, you hurt yourself for attention. Anyway, we won't dive into that wormhole with you, but you should at some point. But Vishal, what do you think was the most trouble you got into with your dad?
Yeah, so I guess like he was always like the alpha in the relationship. Like I always saw this guy as like a very tough, strict thing. And then when I went to college, like I remember, I know that's my, I was like broken out of the shelter of like very religious stuff. I just like, you know, started drinking more, tried weed for the first time, was like talking to women. Like that was never a thing that I was really allowed to do.
Not girls either. Full grown women.
Oh yeah, yeah. I just meant to say like college age, but you're right.
I say women because I'm not trying to go to fucking jail. I mean, who says girls? Yeah. If a friend of mine said girls, I'd be very concerned.
Yeah, I think this is more revealing like, about you, Nick.
Women. I'm like, okay, Nick, you're like 25, 26. It's a little weird.
Girls is out. No, girls is way out. Girls. Yeah, girl.
We aged out of girls a long time ago.
But that's when I like kind of felt like I had freedom. And I remember this is so stupid, but like I brought back, like I was, I think we had like winter break or something. It was like 7 days. I was like, oh, I'm gonna be smart. I'm gonna take some weed back home, and hired like a Bayer pill bottle. And I would, put the cotton over it to cover it up. And I think my mom one time, she was like, she had a headache. I just like came out of the bathroom and she went into my backpack to like take one of these Bayer ibuprofen pills or whatever. She opened it up and like she showed my dad. And then my dad was just waiting for me outside of the bathroom. He's just like, what is this? And then I immediately blamed it on my roommate. I was just like, yeah, he wanted me to hold it for him.
Of course. That's the classic. You're like, this my friend corrupted me.
And then I, very quickly, I was like, okay, this is not going to work. I was just like, told him the truth. I was just like, yeah, it's weed. I'm doing it now. It makes me feel happy. just like very matter of factly. Like
I did that too when you're so fucked with being college drunk that you're like, the only thing I can do is like defend my usage of it. Like I can't pretend that I'm not doing it. I have
to just it's almost like I was trying to convince him to do it with me.
No, I did. I at one point I was like, trying to
the
show
only
my
way
mom
this works is if my dad finishes the joint with me.
Yeah.
And then we write a song together.
Yeah.
But to my surprise, that's not what happened. The words he used was that it wounded him that his son.
Jesus.
Oh, they always do that. My mom did the same thing.
It literally was like a 3-hour therapy ordeal where we were sitting together in front of like, we have like a little prayer room, like a shrine. And like my mom was weeping and my dad was weeping. And I had to, and in my head, I was like, what the fuck?
Isn't it funny that like if they cut to like them crying and then they just cut to you like listening to Pink Floyd and like looking out your window? It's like the thing they're disappointed over is such a benign thing that it's like you getting high was probably just like you eating cookout and being like 20% more satisfied than
this is like such a bullshitty like unique experience to me. Like there's no friends I could tell. Like all my friends were white or black. Like I could never really tell them a friend that was like, yeah man, I my parents found my weed and they started crying and I had to like tuck them into bed. Like it's not like a
my mom cried a couple times, but I because of weed stuff. But
it was just crazy to see my dad. Like this is like
his voice was breaking in life when you're like holy shit.
And like I think it like really like just like oh but I think we talked a lot. I think it worked out well because we talked a lot and he really saw like why I don't know why I felt so away from him and like the abuse and like how I internalized it. I'm like I was like, Dad, you're not someone I feel like I can trust. So we talked about it.
Wow.
And I think I don't think he's ever fully recovered from that. And I mean that's more on him, I think, than me, because it's weed. He's a little bitch boy.
Yeah.
What is this? You'd be like, it's weed, you narc. Some dang stuff too, if you want to throw that in a bowl.
That's why I like thank comedy so much, because like that has become like a great release for me to like tell the story on stage and like get the audience to be like, oh fuck, this guy's dad was crying, and then I get on stage, call my dad a little bitch boy. It's cathartic. All right, at such a great level.
That's what we're doing on the pod, buddy. We're trying to get back at him, all right? Yeah, through the jokes and the podcast, you know, we can win. But I feel that, man. It's a hard thing, especially I feel like in high school there was always the kid you almost were envious of because they were in a broken home and their parents didn't care. They're like, I can just smoke weed in front of my mom and she doesn't care. But then later you're like, oh, that's because your mom was high on like heroin.
Yeah.
Later you're like, someone should have called like child services. Like that was because your things were so bad that they were like, yeah, weed, that's probably, it's a vegetable. And then you're just passing out.
It's so funny what you think is cool, because I remember one of my friends, I thought his dad was super cool because he worked at the theme park as a ride operator, and like he wouldn't care if we were like up all night and ate Doritos and like snuck out to smoke weed. But then later on you think about that guy and you're like, that guy just gave up. Like
he's just like I'm tired and I just made $15 an hour.
My parents have same thing, Vishal. Found weed, and my mom my mom and my dad both were like, you know, really concerned, and my mom was way more concerned about like she was like, what is this gonna lead to? And I always was like, Mom, it's gonna lead to me like laughing at a movie in that room over there. And then like going to sleep, like, and she's like, no, you're going to do. And then she went on this list. She was like, you're going to do cocaine, and then you're going to try heroin, and then you're going to try meth. And sort of like tears are coming.
Taking notes. You're just like,
You're like, Mom, where can I get? You're like, in what order exactly? Should I try them at the same time? I hear that feels pretty good. You're like, Mom, I don't have the motivation.
Well, she was so crazy. I was like, are you high right now? This just seems like a really high person thing to do.
It's like too specific. And then you're going to hit up Big Roy for some of the fire crystal down on 29th Street. And you're like, what? Mom, what are you up to? What's going on here?
But have your parents had like they tried those drugs at least once in their life?
Oh, my dad did a bunch of. We were watching Breaking Bad, and I was like, I think you can only. He's like, no, I think you can only smoke meth. And he's like, I think you could snort it too. It was just kind of weird to where I was like, and I just kind of curiously looked at him, and I didn't even quiz him on. He's like, all right, I did math a couple times. He's like, there's a girl that I liked in LA. She was really into this stuff. So I got some meth and I just slammed. I did it with her. And he's like, I was on top of a building. I felt like I could jump off and live. He's like, and I was like, it's and again, I'm like, he said that to me, and he's like, yeah, so anyway, I probably wouldn't try it.
It's the best thing ever. It's better than when I had you and I saw that a second generation of my seed was going to carry on. It's way better than that, but you should never do it.
No, my dad has like drug stories about like basically what if an insane person took the worst amount of drugs. He was like, yeah, I wouldn't do mushrooms. I ate an eighth of them, and I got in a car. I was going 90 miles an hour. I was like, yeah, Dad, that is – you cannot blame mushrooms for that. That is you. Don't do mushrooms. Don't be you. You're the danger. Don't blame this on mushrooms. I was like, God.
Yeah, don't do mushrooms. You'll just end up in a haunted house naked and covered in fake blood. It's
like, anytime I talk to him about drugs, and he's just, yeah, I mean, yeah, that was that.
Well, Vishal, this is going to come out like tomorrow. So if you have any shows in North Carolina or, because you're still in North Carolina, go ahead and.
Yeah.
If you have something you'd like to plug, literally anything.
We'll just plug my Instagram for now. That's cool. I used to run a show.
Are great. They look great.
I used to run.
Funny.
Thanks, man. I'm trying to. Because they're like, it's a terrible angle and like not good video quality that I got.
But you're like, working with it though.
I made it like security cam footage to like, so people watching it.
That's
it,
really and like, clever.
Yeah, I'm trying to work with that. So my, the Instagram, and I also have a show up in New York too that I'm trying to rejuvenate when I get back there. I used to run that with Deha. It's called Brown Israelites. Mm-hmm. So we'll try to get that. But my podcast is just VISH. KRISH_ Fish Krish _. So I'm trying to post more clips. Trying to post more clips, you know, see what happens. But it's been really working really well. A lot of people reached out, so I'm glad that, you know.
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah, man. Thank you for coming
Thanks
on.
For coming
this
on.
This was a blast.
Yeah, man. Great time.
Thank you guys. I love what you're doing.
Thanks, man.
Hey guys, you just listened to another episode of Fuck You Dad. If you could follow us on our Instagram, which is FCKYOUDAD podcast. That's the important one. We also have a Twitter account, which is FCKYOUDADPODCA1. If you could follow that. Also, please submit any father stories that you have that you'd like us to make fun of, laugh at, or share. Shoot that to our Instagram DMs. And if you could please go ahead and rate the podcast, share the podcast with your friends and family that might enjoy it. And keep listening. Thank you so much.